Hi, I'm John Hilliard, assistant editor with SearchDisasterRecovery.com. I'm here speaking with Paul Kervan, a board member of the Business Continuity Institute's U.S. chapter, and we're discussing how ISO 24762 addresses IT disaster recovery. I know we haven't spoken for a while, Paul, so how's it going?
Doing real well. Thanks, John.
That's great. Well, let's just jump into this. Tell me about ISO 24762. What exactly does this address with IT disaster recovery?
Well, thanks again for the opportunity, John. ISO 24762 was created to define what third-party organizations should be offering in terms of IT disaster recovery services. The standard serves as a framework for companies like hot site firms, cold site firms, managed services firms, co-location service providers, and alternate workspace providers. The standard covers a broad range of issues vendors should address to ensure that their service offerings are protected. These include building construction, security measures, provision of infrastructure services such as power, water, and telecommunications, and environmental controls. Now, by contrast, there's another ISO standard, ISO 27031, which focuses on end-user IT disaster recovery. If we compare the two standards, it shows that ISO 24762 has a more detailed focus on the technology issues a disaster recovery vendor should be addressing. ISO 27031 is more of a high-level framework that describes the IT disaster recovery activities that should be included as part of an enterprise-level business continuity program. Anyway, so going back to ISO 24762, we'll note that by following the guidelines in the standard, vendors can attest to their customers and potential customers that their programs are consistent with international standards. ISO 24762 also recommends that vendors have their own disaster recovery plans. This is very important for vendors as it can help them assure their customers that the backup and recovery resources their customers are using will be protected from unplanned disruptions.
Well, how closely do organizations follow this standard? Are most up to speed, or is this one of those areas that lags in IT circles?
Well, I'd say that most disaster recovery vendors, in this country especially, are probably unaware of ISO 24762. Now, is that really a bad thing? I don't think so, because as I look over the technical and planning requirements in the standard, I can tell you that most vendors who provide disaster recovery services in this country are usually very good at complying with the standards framework, even if they are unaware of the standard itself. Now, a more likely IT disaster recovery standard that vendors in this country will follow is the National Institute of Standards and Technology Special Publication 800-34. Which provides a very practical and easy-to-use resource for IT disaster recovery planning.
Can your typical SMB make use of this standard, or is the complexity, you know, really, you know, make this an enterprise-level kind of issue?
Well, organizations of most any size can use the standard ISO 24762 as a sort of mini checklist for evaluating potential disaster recovery vendors. Simply using the table of contents as a starting point, for example, prospective customers can take most of the items in the table of contents and frame them as questions. One of the important questions in this light is the one about whether vendors have their own disaster recovery and business continuity plans. Now, let me add another spin in this question. While the standard is designed for vendors and service providers, it can also be used by organizations that perform much of their own in-house disaster recovery planning, design, and recovery activities. They can use the standard as a checklist to ensure that they are addressing all the issues necessary to protect their IT assets. They can also use the standard as a starting point to help build an IT disaster recovery plan or enhance existing ones.
How do you audit your organization's DR functions, following along what I asked you just now, do most organizations bother to audit their DR or follow through with any recommendations from the auditor?
Well, when it comes to auditing, the IT disaster recovery audit process usually begins with the existence of a disaster recovery plan. Now, of course, if the plan doesn't exist, there may be other things to audit, such as user-developed or vendor-supplied recovery procedures for specific critical systems and networks. However, assuming you do have a plan, it should focus on recovering critical IT systems and services that directly support critical business functions. And of course, the critical business functions are hopefully identified using a business impact analysis, or BIA. Potential risks, threats, and vulnerabilities to these critical functions are determined with a risk assessment. And this, of course, is standard disaster recovery planning. The plan should have a clear series of steps to, one, recognize an incident when it occurs, two, begin responding to the incident, three, initiate recovery of critical systems that were affected by the incident, and four, restore normal business operations following recovery of the critical IT systems. Each of these steps, as you might imagine, carries with it a set of auditable activities. Now, if an organization exercises its IT disaster recovery plans once a year, that's pretty good. Many do not have a formal schedule for exercising, and that often means that there will be no exercises at all, which is not a good thing. By contrast, exercising is a required activity for firms that are scrutinized by regulators, such as in the banking and energy industries, or organizations which face annual IT audits from either internal or external auditors. And in answer to your last question, John, if IT disaster recovery plans are audited and the auditor issues findings and recommendations in his or her report, the IT department, especially IT management, is usually obligated to respond with an action plan with specific dates to satisfy the auditors.
Now, some firms rely on outsourced DR services. What kinds of skills should those DR services have for providing a secure recovery site and help an organization recover?
Well, that's a good question. The nature of IT disaster recovery has been changing, especially with the advent of virtualization technologies. Now, for example, data backup and recovery assets no longer need to be physically located at a distant storage and recovery site. When considering data criticality, two major factors to be addressed are the organization's recovery time objectives, or RTO, and recovery point objectives, or RPO. Now, depending on the RTO and RPO, data can be replicated in real time to an external data recovery center via data mirroring technologies, or it can be mirrored to a virtual data storage facility, or it can be saved to high-capacity disk storage or even tape. Now, a good way to determine if a disaster recovery vendor has sufficiently robust and secure facilities is to use ISO 24762, once again, as a checklist to see if the vendor has truly covered all the bases. One effective way to ensure that the third-party recovery firm can effectively support a recovery is to include that firm in all disaster recovery exercises, especially since the DR firm will probably be a key player in the organization's recovery. Most good disaster recovery vendors will include at least one annual exercise as part of its fees. Be sure to take advantage of it.
That, again, was Paul Kervan, a board member of the U.S. chapter of the Business Continuity Institute. Thank you again, Paul.
My pleasure, John.
And again, for latest on news and information on disaster recovery, check out our website at searchdisasterrecovery.com. I'm John Hilliard, and thanks for listening.